The hope of Britain's leaders during this middle period of the war was that it would be possible to create the conditions necessary for victory in Europe during 1943, with a final, relatively easy campaign to be fought against a pre-defeated German army during 1944. Now, in some ways, the Allies do come close to creating that very situation during the summer of 1943, with a series of very severe bombing attacks on German cities, a major defeat for the German army on the west, on the Eastern Front, and the invasion and surrender of Italy. 25 years before, a similar set of reverses had seen the start of the crumbling of the Central Powers in the First World War in 1918. But Nazi fanaticism is such that even though defeat by this point is inevitable, and obviously inevitable to many within Germany, the Germans keep fighting all the way to national destruction, extending the conflict much longer than expected. It's this continued illogical resistance that shapes the final period of Britain's war, which I'm going to call total war. And this stretches from 1943 until the end of the conflict in Europe in May 1945, in the Far East that August. Now, despite wringing as much effort as possible from the home front in 1943, Britain's influence is surpassed that year by the still expanding new superpowers of the USA and the USSR, with the result that even though the German army is still fighting very hard, it's not been defeated yet by bombing or by what's happening on the Eastern Front, Britain finds itself committed to an American-inspired invasion of Northwest Europe in early summer 1944, and the great British fear is that this is going to see a repeat of the Somme and Passchendaele. Now, the result is that in this period you see not only a ramped-up bombing effort, but also the commitment of really large numbers of UK ground forces to a major campaign in Europe. Now, it's not as bad as the Somme and Passchendaele in terms of total casualties, but the result, just as it had been in 1914-18, although on a smaller scale and for a shorter duration, is a greatly increased rate of loss. It's really important, I think, when we're thinking about the war as a whole, to remember that although Britain escapes really very lightly in terms of its the number of dead and wounded, both military and civilian, compared to anywhere else in Europe, the end of the conflict is bloodier than any other period and sees a significant number of families suffering military bereavement. At the same time, the home front too once more comes under bombardment, with Hitler's V weapons, unguided flying bombs and missiles, being launched primarily against the southeast of England. About a quarter of the civilian deaths from enemy bombing during the war happen in the period from summer 1944. Meanwhile, Allied bombing, the field in which Britain actually plays the largest part proportional to its total war effort, becomes more and more destructive as the land forces close in on Germany. The bulk of the damage to the German economy and to German cities is done in this final phase of the conflict. It does shorten the war, but it also causes incredible suffering. The Northwest European campaign, the campaign to fight to the borders of and then break into Germany, takes much longer than expected. There's a real hope that the war is about to end in September 1944, but it goes on and on until May the following year. And this isn't just disappointing to British civilians and results in significantly more death and grief to them as to everybody else in Europe, but it also poses quite profound problems for the government in its attempts to demobilise the economy and to start getting ready for peace. The transport effort required to ship large quantities of men and materiel to the continent, and the subsequent need to sustain the liberated and defeated with supplies brought in from the rest of the world, mean that this is a period where the availability of goods for British civilians again actually decreases, and that's a reduction that continues after the end of the conflict. Whereas the war in Europe goes on much longer than expected, however, that in Asia finishes much more quickly than anticipated, with the result that Britain loses the admittedly minimal opportunity to make use of American wartime financial support to begin the conversion of its economy away from the overwhelming concentration on military production achieved during the war. This in turn helps to shape the economic experience of the immediate post-war period.